Hey, hon, where are you going?
I'm gonna go to the casino.
Again?
Yeah, maybe again. Yeah, it's for the podcast, The Better Life.
Sure.
Got to put out a podcast.
It's for the podcast.
Well, hello everybody, Tim Lawson here, little non-traditional opening there for you. I am in the car, I'm headed to the casino, and in a week where I was sort of figuring out the next handful of weeks, I was unable to book anybody to get a schedule or to get an interview in this week. So, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to head to the casino. Why don't I just do some real-time recording of my experiences, my thoughts, maybe some just top-of-mind stuff, and see how that works out. Now, I know the microphone's not going to sound the same, we'll see how this is either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. We'll see. You let me know which. I am currently headed out to Charlestown, West Virginia, to go to the Hollywood Casino out there. I am batching a handful of things that I need to take advantage of and do in the next 24 hours with this trip. As many of your local casinos probably do, and I'm sure maybe Vegas ones as well, but you know, it's more difficult to think to do this with Vegas hotels or casinos. A lot of casinos will send you free play with like a handful of redemption periods, right? So, you have $1,500 of free play, but it's over the course of 15 different redemption periods of $100 a piece. That's actually what I'm going in for. One of the things I'm taking advantage of this week, on my way to what I'm doing this today. So, Some places like Delaware Park that has something like that, their redemption periods are like wonky, where like there's gaps in between them, where like there is no redemption to be had. And a redemption period could be one day, it could be 4 days. It's kind of weird. Hollywood's a little bit better than that. There's usually a redemption period that's like Monday through Thursday, and then the weekend has its own redemption period, right? So Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, or sometimes even Friday will be its own redemption period, and then Saturday, Sunday will be its own redemption period. It's usually something like that. So that's what I'm actually going in for now. And the redemption period usually ends just before 6 o'clock in the morning. Following the last day, and then the next redemption period starts at 6. So I'm headed out there right now. I got a room comp, the inn at Charlestown. I've never been there. I've never stayed there, and so it'll be interesting to see if I don't have high hopes. Let me tell you that I have reasonable expectations. But I'm picking up $100 in free play tonight. They usually divvy those out in $50 increments. And then I'll pick it up again in the morning. I have about $30, $35 of a dining credit. Plus I have some other sort of just comp cash to use. So I'm hoping to get in a little bit of gaming. I'm hoping to have dinner, obviously, maybe a beer or two, and then take it down in my hotel room. Wake up tomorrow and look, I don't expect, even on a Friday, I've been there on a Friday, so it's Thursday night as I'm recording this. I've been there on a Friday morning before, and like the craps table doesn't even open until like 10, and this is not like, you know, many casinos are like this, especially, you know, local ones. And so I don't know how much gambling I'll actually do tomorrow morning. It may just be sort of grab my free play and go. And then the last item on my agenda is I need to pick up a handful of things from the printer that I had created for merchandise, some more Tip Your Dealers t-shirts, and a few other things that that Better Santa people will hopefully see. So that's the plan for the night. I will come off and on recording as I think of things or as I'm experiencing things. We'll see how cute I get with, like, maybe trying to record some ambiance in the casino or something like that. But that's what this episode's gonna be. So I've tried. So I have tried doing this before, maybe a week or two ago. And I don't know if I told the story on the podcast. If you're like my wife, you've probably heard me tell a story, and then you've been like, I've heard this story before. I'm confident I do that on the podcast plenty of times. So forgive me if I've already told you this story before. But a week or two ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to go out to Hollywood, and I'm going to pick up free play. And doing the same thing, right? Stay a Thursday night that I have comps. So I have, right now I'm getting comps room Sunday through Thursday, which is typical, right? I don't play much beyond a point for them to give me a weekend room yet. So it's a free night, and then, you know, the two redemption periods sort of on both sides of that night, so I can take advantage of two redemption period free plays. So I was gonna go do that, and I was like, you know what, let me swing by MGM real quick to pick up my free play there, because I had some in there as well, and then I'll head out there. And I was on my motorcycle, and by the time I went to MGM, of course I got distracted by something, may or may not have been Buffalo Diamond. And by the time I left the casino, by the time I left MGM National Harbor to head out to Hollywood, the temperature had dropped so much that it was freezing outside. It went from being like this tolerable mid-50s to high 30s. And I was like, nope, not riding in this. Because it's about an hour and 20 minutes ride for me, especially from National Harbor to Hollywood. And I was like, I will be an ice cube, and it is, it's straightforward, dangerous for me to ride in that sort of situation. So I decided to not go. So I thought it was funny that a casino trip disrupted my casino trip. Anyhow, I'll hop back on there here soon. I'm catching up on some old episodes of Gambling with an Edge.
What do you think, Richard?
Well, I don't know what you mean by overlap. I mean, they're totally different.
I'm catching up on the mailbag episodes here. By the way, if you listen to Gambling with an Edge, recent episode with Chris Andrews is really fascinating. So if you haven't listened to that one, make sure you do. If you don't listen to Gambling with an Edge, but you like sports betting stuff, especially like OG bookmaker stories, Chris Andrews does a great job in that interview, and it's really fascinating. Anyhow,
keep right to stay on Virginia 267 West.
All right, see, I got to get to driving. All right, I'll be back soon. So I'm listening to this. I'm catching up on mailbag episodes of Gambling with an Edge. Gambling with an Edge, as much as I enjoy the podcast, is not one. It's one that I usually listen to, like, in batches, right? Like, I just kind of go through phases where I'll listen to multiple episodes. I rarely listen to them when they on the week they come out, unless it's something like the Chris Andrews episode where I know I'm going to enjoy the person who's on. And what's always interesting about these mailbag episodes, or whenever they answer any questions, it's, you know, aspiring APs trying to learn and figure out and try, and I can resonate with that aspiration. I once upon a time wished that gambling could somehow supplement or hold my some sort of income and provide for me. But the more you hear about the reality of this, you know, like how nothing is what it was, and how you know, how much more difficult it is, and stuff like, I still commend people who give it a shot, but I really think that there's just better ways to get most out of your gambling without going, if you really listened, especially when Richard Munchkin shares his anecdotes of when, you know, you're in Bodunk nowhere trying to take advantage of a game and you're by yourself, it's lonely. Look, if you're trying to pound your local casino, I mean, is that really going to be all that fun when they bar you? Now you don't have a local joint to go play at. But, you know, being an AP sounds, we glorify it. We romanticize it a bit because we think of what we see. We think about the success stories. We think about the freedom. We think about the, you know, beating Vegas or overcoming the odds, stuff like that. And it's exciting. It's an underdog story. Being an AP is kind of an underdog story. In each time there's a success, but goodness, I can't imagine really living that way or even worse. If you're fully committed, I think that's probably better than if it's something you're like halfway on. Right? Because if you're halfway on it, it's probably consuming more of your brain than you really realize. And so your subconscious is probably tormented by this desire to do more or the you know, if you're on a bad stretch, like how that's impacting the rest of your life. Now you would have the safety net, of course, you know, that maybe you're doing a part time and you would likely have like some sort of other income. But I think like if you went all in, failed, and then just came back to life, I almost think that would be easier mentally than to sort of have one foot in the experiment of being AP-ish and one foot in normal life. And like, and this is something I've experienced before, so I guess what I shouldn't.
In 2 miles, oh, take goodness. The Virginia 9 exit.
I don't gotta take the Virginia 9 exit. I just think that, so I'm not hypothesizing so much as I am, I guess, maybe speaking a little bit more from experience. Not that I've ever been an AP, but I'm sure anybody who like learns like sports betting and stuff like that, you do sort of, once you find a groove somewhere, you sort of kind of obsess over a little bit and you want to learn more, you want to do more. And I know I'm kind of rambling on this, but it's something I always think about when I'm listening to Gambling with an Edge, that there's so many hopefuls and aspiring APs, and I just wonder if it's, there's just an easier, I think that what a lot of people in this community do is probably, one, more fun, and look, being an AP isn't about being fun, I get that, but it's probably more fun. It's probably more reliable, and when I say what we do here, and I mean, like, I'm saying, you know, maintain the low house edge and let what the casino's giving back to you be sort of the benefit, and not so much trying to overcome the game itself and try to grind out a profit. Because here's the thing, I tried counting once upon a time, and every once in a while I get, you know, I get a little squirrely, and I'm like, I'm gonna count, and I'll count maybe through half a shoe or a full shoe, and it's kind of fun, and maybe I'll adjust my bets a little bit. But here's the thing, gotta take the Virginia 9 exit. I know that it's fun for some people. I'd rather you know, talk to people. I'd rather chat the dealer. The GPS is just so rude, constantly talking to me. Do they not know I'm recording a podcast? First my wife, and now the GPS. Keep right at the fork. I think that even though comp hustling, you know, it's not like the days of Comp City. It's not like what it was where, like in the movie Hard Eight, where you just like can just cycle through between the cage and machines and get a room with really not really even having spent anything, right? That's not the environment we're in anymore. But, you know, if you pay enough attention to the club, your player's awards card, if you play, if you pay enough attention to sort of what your play is giving you for just free play and stuff like that, I think that side of taking advantage of the casino and gambling is all around just more pleasant, less stressful. You don't worry, you don't have to worry too much about risk of ruin, because you don't have to worry so much about leveraging money so much as you're leveraging your position, your relationship, your story, if I can call back to the newsletter from Adam Bauer, that you have with the casino. And so I think I applaud and commend anybody who's aspiring to be an AP, and even more so people who pull it off. But, you know, when you hear about the real APs who like really grind it out, a living, it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like a lifestyle. You know, I'm sure it's amazing walking out of the casino with, you know, buttloads of money off a hot session, and you know that it wasn't luck. You know, you use your brain to beat it. I'm sure all of that is fulfilling. But everything else around that, goodness, not for me. I guess that's the main point. Not for me. And this was, this is a long time evolution, I guess you say, in my life as a gambler. Like I said, once upon a time, I thought it'd be cool to be an advantage player or find a way to grind. And I realized quickly, and this community was a big part of it, lots of conversations with Eric Rosenthal, lots of conversations with others, you know, people who are better at this than I am, to realize, you know what, I'm not going to like try to slouch and hold card. I'm not going to bother counting cards. I probably do put the most effort of this is in the sports book, right? Finding opportunities there, because there it requires some thought, but mostly it's a couple clicks and I don't bet enough to worry too much about it. But yeah, I'm enjoying where I am as a gamble. All this to say, I'm really enjoying where I am as a gambler now. Now that I have the means to really leverage my relationship with the casino, I'm not betting over my head. I'm not a high roller. I'm not a whale. I don't get hosted at properties, but I get offers, right? There's a reason why I'm driving out to Charlestown, because one, I want to go to the casino, and two, while $200 in free play isn't gonna supplement my income, pads my bankroll a little bit, and that's really all that matters, right? And I hope to play a bunch of Pai Gow and get, you know, maintain this. And let's say, you know, Tim Kennedy, shout out Tim Kennedy, he just DM'd me the other day, say he played Pai Gow for the first time. He was down just a couple bets when he left, and I was like, look, that's about as much as you can hope for at a Pai Gow table, right? To just be up or down a couple bets, right? A couple units. And so when you look at $200 in free play, it'll be a $50 increment. So it'll only be four plays. But I mean, the free bet itself may be out there for a few hands, right? And then it'll resolve. Let's say I even get half of the, if I get half of that back, if I have an extended session beyond that, the free play alone could have been enough to make it a break-even game, right? Even if I lose a couple bets of my own money afterwards, the free play is what could have made it a break-even game. And then who knows, based on ratings and comps and stuff like that. And while Hollywood's not like a great casino, the food's not bad. They got decent beer at the bar. So I'm enjoying. And I'm really optimistic about that move, about sort of where I am as a gambler moving forward. And we'll talk about this more as we get closer to the sort of New Year's podcast, talking about sort of looking forward at 2022. But I've really found what I like. I've really found what's worth playing, what's worth leveraging, and I think what this is going to be so weird to say, slots have really, and I'm sure some of you are probably rolling your eyes like, goodness gracious, are you really this much into slots? Not really. But the couple of slot machines that I am into, it really did help me think about this like sort of who I am as a gambler to the casino. Because I never really played that much in table games to really think about it too much. Like, I knew if I played at a quarter table to not, you know, then if it was $5 the following or $10 the following morning, I shouldn't play on my card then, right? I knew that much. But after playing at like a Buffalo Diamond machine for, you know, 2.5 hours, I wanted to play craps on my way out, and so I went by the stadium game, and I, like, pulled my card out, and I was like, wait, why would I put my card in the stadium gaming machine at $5 a hand when I just burned through 2.5 hours of coin through just, you know, on at the fastest I could have pushed that button at Buffalo Diamond? And it really helped me, think about being more deliberate, and then it made me think about the comps I get and the free play that I get, and you know, you really kind of have to build, you know, it's kind of a long game, with the casinos that you go to often. And, I'm fortunate enough to have, some of you are probably like, oh my God, this guy's all over the place, but welcome to my brain, people. And I'm on the road and I am, I got 20 minutes before I hit the casino, but, I'm fortunate that I have my local casino is a nationwide program, which helps me a lot, right? Because then I can, I am now booking free rooms in Vegas based off of my play at National Harbor, right? And it took a while to get here, right? Like, you know, MGM, we all know MGM's not throwing offers that quickly. But after enough play, you know, during trips to Beau Rivage, you know, when I stayed at Bellagio earlier, and then all the play that I, and then a lot of, most of it being the play that I put in at MGM National Harbor, I find myself booking free rooms through MGM in Vegas based on that play. And then I also have, look, and MGM National Harbor is literally like across a bridge from me. And then the other sort of local casinos that I have, Horseshoe, I don't really go there, but, you know, there's another national. But then Hollywood, while the My Choice Rewards is sort of nationwide, Hollywood really operates, to me, more as like a local casino as far as like the comps, the offers, that, you know, like, it's like how much they throw for, like, on dining and stuff like that. And so it's nice having both options nearby and have built sort of that middle ground of, you know, their system recognizes me as a player worth rewarding, and worth rewarding enough where it's worth my time. You know, like, you know, prior to the pandemic, Hollywood maybe would give me like a $20 free bet. I'm not driving. You know, it would cost me that much in tolls on 267 just to get out here, right? I'm not doing that. So, you know, it takes time with your local casinos, the casinos that you're building relationships with, to get to that story of, hey, I'm a player worth rewarding, and them then giving you rewards that make it, that warrant your action, that warrants you to come in and play more. And even the My Choice, I'll go ahead and say it here, I guess, I'm going to be in Vegas a few days prior to Zork Fest, and I'm staying at the M Resorts because through my play at Hollywood, I've gotten a number of offers elsewhere in the nation that are on the My Choice, and one of them's M Resort, and I'm there for a few nights, comped room, bunch of dining dollars, stuff like that, and that's something that you know, this is a new experience for me. It was a relatively new experience for me, and it's interesting that it's happening on the heels of the, or coming off the heels of the pandemic, right? So, that rant coming off of listening to about 20 minutes of Gambling with an Edge mailbag, but it really made me think about, you know, we're not so different as gamblers, so long as you have an angle that you're trying to work, right? You know, we think that there's, when you listen to Gambling with an Edge, and it's going to sound like I'm picking on this, I'm not, I just, they're the example here. if you listen to Gambling with an Edge, sometimes it can almost feel like, you know, I guess not even feel like, it is. It's a hard line between you're an advantage player because you're playing with positive VV, or you're a recreational player because you're playing without. But if you're a recreational player who is playing, like you're mindful of how you're playing, you know how to play your game, you know how to lower house edge, you know how to, like, even if you're maybe not getting into positive VV on the game itself, maybe if you don't, you're not 100% sure that what you're getting back from the casino actually is break even or better on your expected losses, whatever. It's not that different of a mindset than those that are in the casino, advantage players, trying to actually beat the game at the table, right? So, okay, I'm gonna go back. What I'm gonna listen to now? I think I've decided. I'll come back to Gambling with an Edge in a little bit. Oh look, my good friend Gil just put out a Megapod today. I think we will listen to this. Oh, he's so commercial now with these ads at the top of his. There we go. Perfect. All right. Talk to you soon. It's the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod for week number 11. I'm on the fourth floor. There's only four floors, so I've got a top floor room here. That's something. They also gave me $5 off at any food outlet. So we'll see if I can pair that with my dining offer and get a little bit more out of it. We'll see. Shuttle 2. Where am I at here? Shuttle to the casino. So the inn is like on the other side of the racetrack from the casino. And so they have a shuttle. Let's see how this room looks. Oh, it looks like an inn. It looks, yeah, look at that. It's a bed, it's a chair. It overlooks the racetrack, though. That is actually kind of cool. I can see that being kind of fun if there was a race going on or something. That's neat. But otherwise, pretty standard room. King bed, chair, TV, little coffee maker here. Little door that connects you to another room that I'm always afraid someone's gonna come through. Bathroom, shower only. Okay, well, this'll do. Those are the digs. Okay. What was I saying? Oh yeah, so they have a shuttle. It looks like it comes on every half hour, which is a half hour from now. I'm sorry, it comes every hour on the half hour, so I guess is what it looked like it said. I might just see how long the lock is. It's a 70 degree night. Oddly enough, I guess probably it's in the 60s, probably more now, but it's a warm night here in the area, so. I think I might just walk that way if it's not too far and start getting some play in. All right. Oh, before I hit record on this set, I talked to my better half, Mr. Rosenthal, and he told me that the line on him being at the Better Life Live performance at Zorkfest is currently at -990, so gotta lay a lot of chalk, but looks like he's a heavy favorite to be there. So Gil Alexander, Eric Rosenthal, Mark Davala, maybe it's gonna be an awesome hour. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna find a way to get over to the casino. Probably not taking this recorder with me. I'll probably switch over to my phone first, just some anecdotes, but yeah, very good. Well, I am making my way over to the casino now. I still feel like waiting for a stupid shuttle. It comes around on the half hour every hour, and I don't know, just doesn't seem like that frequent. I was just gonna walk. I have no problem with walking. In fact, I'm much prefer being able to walk when it's available, like getting my steps in and stuff like that. But when I asked her, like, hey, how far is the walk? Because like I said, it is kind of on the other side of the property. But she was like, well, we don't really advise people to go walking because there's no sidewalk. Which I guess, I mean, I've been here enough. When she said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. But it's kind of, that is kind of annoying. So I am driving over now. And I will just, monitor my drinking a little bit more closely and be a little more responsible than maybe I'd, than I maybe originally thought I was going to be. But it wasn't going to be that crazy of a night, so I don't have to adjust my plans too much, but, still, I was hoping to just sort of be on foot and not to really worry about it too much, but alas, here we are. So, masks are an interesting thing in my area. So you have, you know, you have DC, Virginia, and Maryland, and each state sort of has their own different sort of culture on masks and places that are requiring masks, stuff like that. Like in my area, the grocery store is really the only place that people like wear masks frequently. Like it's not required, but you'll see quite a bit of mask wearing in there. But otherwise, most places it's like people just do or don't, right? In the casinos, MGM National Harbor does require masks, which is fine. Charlestown does not require masks, but even in Charlestown, I'd say a good 35%, maybe more, of people are still opting to wear masks. You know, I don't talk about this stuff much because I know it polarizes people, and people have some pretty strong reactions just to the topic, let alone an opinion. I'm pretty indifferent on the whole thing, to be completely honest. I just don't care if I walk up to a place and it says masks optional, or there's nothing mandating a mask. I don't bother. I'm comfortable with it. If there is a mask requirement on the door, I don't get upset. I just throw a mask on and go about my business. But I will say it is kind of cool that I like environments where it's just like people can, you know, do what they're comfortable with. I feel like that's a good, I feel like we've gotten in a good place in the pandemic for that. And I'm hoping National Harbor gets closer to that. National Harbor, I think, has to be a little more, I think people in places in the DC area are trying to be more careful because, you know, infecting people inside of sort of the structure there could be damaging, but whatever. To each their own, as they would say. All right, I am going to find some parking, and then I'm going to get in there and start getting about my night. So, interesting enough, when I went to go print out my free bet, usually it either gives me an option to split it up into smaller increments, or it just does it naturally. This time I didn't do either. It just printed out a $100 free bet, which I wasn't expecting. And that changes a little bit how I'm going to use it, I think. If I had multiple free bets, I was going to sit down at a Pi Gal table. But since it's $100, I'm not playing that level anywhere. So I think I might just walk up to a table and just play the $100. Probably on blackjack, I think. Interesting enough, though, you can use it on mini Bach at the player bet only, which I think is interesting. Why can't you use it on the banker bet? I thought maybe it's because of the commission, but you can use it on Pai Gal. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what the reasoning is on that. So, I'm just sort of wandering around trying to think, where do I want to play this? Probably just going to put it on a blackjack hand and see what happens, and then maybe go on to play some Pai Gal after that. The dice table is all crowded, so I do not think I'll get in at the dice table tonight unless I happen to be walking past with an opening. But doesn't look like that was an option. All right. I know our buddy Vito is talking about taking a casino stroll
And probably for different reasons, I also enjoy a nice casino stroll. Mostly because I actually just kind of like just casinos are actually a really good place to like get your steps in, get some movement, which is really nice because it's also a place where you can sit down and not move for hours, right? So it's kind of nice in that regard. I just picked up a beer from the casino bar. And I will say, I'm noticing more and more that casinos are making an effort to have something noteworthy on tap, right? So this was one of those bars where, you know, there's maybe a few dozen beers on tap. Maybe like three of them are something you like wouldn't normally find elsewhere, right? It's all kind of the, you know, even the craft beer is starting to get kind of predictable, right? With Goose Island, Stone, stuff like that. But I was able to find a couple beers that I haven't had before. From breweries that maybe, you know, I don't have access to as easily. So that's nice. The sports book here at, at Hollywood Charlestown, is Barstool. Barstool runs it here. Now, Barstool gets a really bad rap for limiting players, kicking out players. But as far as their line availability and like what they have, like the markets that they have, at least here in West Virginia and what I've seen in Virginia, they have a lot of markets available that I actually have a hard time finding elsewhere. So I haven't really bet into them much. I don't have an account with them in Virginia yet, but I can't imagine I bet enough or have a strong enough angle to really face the wrath of their limiting. So I may have to give them a try. I mean, I looked up some of my soccer stuff, and not only did they have lines for the leagues I like betting, but they had futures options for leagues that don't always have futures available. So kind of digging that. They're currently in the process of building a Barstool sports book, like sports bar area, and I mean that's Vegas is always gonna like have these Vegas style sports books, I think, because that's just what they're known for. That's what people are gonna try to do. But I really think in the rest of the country, places are gonna go. It's gonna be have a place where people can eat, drink, and also place their bets. And so it'll you know, my opinion on Barstool and their employees notwithstanding, it'll be interesting to see what kind of establishment ends up getting built here. It's all blocked off. I can't see anything from in here from where I am. But it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And, you know, at the very least, hopefully it'll be a cool place to use those food and beverage options. I have not played my my $100 free bet yet, but I do think I'm going to scratch the itch on my some of these machines that I enjoy playing. The only machine that they have here that I enjoy playing is, in fact, Heidi's Beer House. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to play a little bit here. Let's see if anything noteworthy happens. So I just finished playing on Heidi's for a while. Bought it for $100. I played 75 a spin. Cashed out for 75. Probably got enough slot points to sort of keep that side of my offer is consistent, right? And I'm not pumping the brakes on that too much, but pumping the throttle on that too much. But I think I did enough. And I think I also decided that instead of like figuring out which game I'm going to play this one free bet at, I think I'm actually just going to sit down and play at a Pai Gow table, because that's kind of what I want to play tonight. And then when I feel ready, I'll just put out the $100 bet out there and just let that do its thing, and hopefully comes away a winner. But first, I think I'm gonna get some food. So it's actually the morning after from my time since the last time I recorded a voice memo last night. Unfortunately, the sort of jump to the morning after isn't for any of the fun reasons. It's actually because nothing really all that interesting happened. I went to go use my food voucher, my food credit, and I went to the steak. I was excited. I was like, oh, that's right. The steakhouse is open. Because usually when I come here, it's either in the morning or like I'm never here late enough in the day or really over a weekend or I'm never really in a spot to like take advantage of the actual restaurants in the place. It's usually just like the food court, maybe the sports bar. And so I got excited and I went and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. It closes at 9:00. And I'd walked up to the restaurant at 8:58. So no steakhouse for me. So I just went to the little burger joint there in the food court. I had like 40 something. I had like $30 or $40 of food credit. And then I had like that $5 coupon that I got at check-in. And so, you know, I'm by myself, you know, it's difficult to really, at a little food court spot, take up all that money. So I got the most expensive burger I could with the most expensive combo options. And then, I pulled a Mark and Dr. Mike and just ordered a bunch of Red Bull, you know, like 3-4 cans of Red Bull and like a vitamin water, I think, just to fill up the rest of the voucher. Yeah, that's how that went. And then I wandered around and, you know, it was interesting. You know, it was a Thursday night. There was enough people in the place to, like, keep what they had open busy, but they didn't have much else open, table-wise, table game-wise. And so I walked around quite a bit looking for an opportunity to play that $100 voucher that I had. And then you'd be like, well, can't you? I don't like walking up to a busy table just to use a voucher. If I'm gonna play beyond the voucher, sure, right? The free bet that I have, right? If I'm gonna play beyond that, then whatever. But I really just, I had reached a point where I was kind of ready to get out of, you know, the Pie Gal table was constantly busy. I couldn't get in on there. That was the only place that I was going to sit down and actually play if I could get on it. But anytime there was a table open, I went and looked. It was being held for the person. So I could never get on that. Kept on walking around, and just nothing. And I got, finally, I went to the high limit area, where they had a $100 Bach game, and the dealer was just sitting there with the shoe in front of him, and I was like, I have a $100 voucher, can I just play this here real quick? And sure enough, did it, lost. So anticlimactic ending to that story. So I'm about to head back there to get my other $100. Hopefully there'll just be a blackjack table or something I can throw it down on. Here I am. That's about it. I think this is going to do it for my trip. When I run there, take care of the voucher and head out. I was interested in sort of putting in a nice little session last night at a table. This morning, sort of the errands of life were sort of flying around in my head. So, I don't know how much I'll take advantage of being able to play this morning. But the results of this quick overnight trip come to room was free. The first $100 voucher was a loss. Second $100 voucher TBD. $40 in dining comps. I think I ended up using like $10 or $11 of sort of express comps or whatever they call them here when I got a beer at the bar. And I was down a little bit from playing the Heidi machine. So if this second free bet comes through, it'll teeter me back a little bit over on the break even, but otherwise kind of an underwhelming trip. I will have I will have sort of a little room review for fun of my little room here at the end. Definitely nothing interesting. Although, as some of you probably saw on Twitter, I woke up this morning to horses working out on the track, and I have a really great view of the track from my room. So that was cool. I actually enjoyed my first cup of coffee this morning watching horses sort of just work out around the track. That was actually a lot of fun. And there's, it's not really a busy area out here in Charlestown, so plenty of trees and stuff and around. It was actually a nice little vista, to be honest. But okay, I'm going to run to the casino. I'm going to see what happens there, and I'll record probably a couple more little segments, little ramblings on my way home.
Well, I did not end up recording anything on my drive home. I did swing by my printer, my screen printer, to pick up a handful of things, including new Tip Your Dealer shirts. There are silver on black for the traditional design that you've seen. And then there's also a new playing card design that I picked up there. And that's sort of limited edition, if you will. I don't know how much of that I'm really going to keep in stock. But you can check out both of those at bettermerch.com, B-E-T-T-O-R, merch.com. I also picked up a number of things for Better Santa. For Better Santa, the form got sent out. A lot of you have filled it out. Thank you. There are about 10 of you who filled it out very quickly in the first few hours or so after I sent it out. If you believe you filled it out very quick, well, the better way of saying this is I realized after the first like 10 or 12 of you had filled it out that a very key question on the form, essentially identifying who the order, the name on the order is, was missing from the official form. It was still in draft for some reason. So I updated the form. It is now at the top of the form. If you do not remember putting the name on the order, whether the name that you had in the order in the store or your name on Patreon, where I can identify you there, try to go back, see if it lets you edit your response. And add that. If it does not let you edit your response, just submit a new response because I absolutely need that first question answered of what's the name on the order. Otherwise, I have no idea where to send that stuff. I can't believe that didn't, that I don't know what, I may have added it at the end after I'd published. I don't know what happened, but when I went back, that question wasn't in the form that got sent out to everybody. So, please make sure that was a question that you answered so I can get these out to everybody. Very excited about these little gift sets. They're going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, who hopped on board. It's fun to do these every year. You heard the news in the audio from earlier that Eric Rosenthal is as good of a go as we're going to get for Zorkfest. So me, Eric, Gil Alexander, and fingers crossed, maybe Mark Duvall, it's going to be an outstanding 45 minutes to an hour of live Better Life, and it'll be recorded. I'm sure it'll be released at some point. Could be up to a year. I don't know. It's not going to be a quick release. So, you know, if you can't make it, don't start asking where the audio is because it could be a while before we release it. There's a chance we don't even use the entire entire episode, but we'll see. Hope to see everybody over at Zorkfest.com. I'm sorry, Travel Zork. Trigger's gonna, he's gonna be like, goodness gracious, Tim, get these promos right. TravelZork.com/Zorkfest is where you can get tickets to Zorkfest and check out information on the event. Also, podcasting's fun. I can attest to that. I've been doing it for nearly 10 years. I've released multiple podcasts in my life. I say it's more than multiple, really. And I'm always here to advocate for podcasting. It's a fun outlet to be creative on. I think it allows some of the most creativity without necessarily really having to put yourself too much out there. And you know, for not everybody's good live, not everybody's good on camera. Not everybody is a patient or good writer, but there is something about podcasting. And look, I don't want to say the bar is lower on podcasting, but I have learned that you can go from not knowing what you're doing to figuring it out rather quickly if you're determined to.
And I am here to advocate for podcasters. If you're interested in starting a podcast, I'm partnered up with Libsyn, an affiliate of Libsyn. If you want to give podcasting a shot, get up to 2 months free of podcast hosting from Libsyn with my promo code. My promo code is better, BETTOR. Check out the show notes. There's a link in the show notes to bring you right there and give podcasting a shot. And I'm here as a resource as well. If you want to hit me up and be like, hey, heard your promo. Whether or not you decide to use Libsyn, hit me up. Let me know. You know, if you have any questions about podcasting, whether it be equipment, hosting, stuff like that. But I've been using Libsyn since day one, and I've hosted a number of podcasts on Libsyn. So an advocate for them. That about wraps up this episode. Thank you for, I hope you enjoyed sort of the different format here. I know some of that, I know the audio, sort of the levels, it was very difficult to keep this podcast level because I am essentially recorded off, what, three different sources to do this. So the audio where it's, you can tell the audio is blown a little bit, that's off of my phone. I did not realize my microphone was that sensitive on the recorder. And it's, you know, in a casino, I didn't know how close to my mouth I needed to bring my phone to be able to get clear audio with all the noise going around. So, apologies if that was less than pleasant, but, I had fun. If for those curious, that last $100 voucher, I put it on odd on the roulette table, 00, don't kill me, but there was like enough people at each blackjack table. And again, I don't like going to a busy blackjack table. I don't like going to a busy table at all to play a one-time voucher. I just feel like it's a little too disruptive to the flow. And so there was only one other guy at the roulette table. So I walked up, got my voucher. I put it on odd and it hit. Black 19 hit. So a winner to end the trip. Next week, Matt Landis of the Props and Hops podcast will be joining me. We'll be talking about sports betting, podcasting, and betting on the NFL, and networking. That's something that Matt does very well, and that's a valuable thing in sports betting. So that is coming up next week, along with some Thanksgiving-themed segments. And those that have listened to years prior, you probably know what I'm talking about. So there we have it. That'll wrap it up. Good luck with all your bets this week. On behalf of the Better Wife, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.